You guys, if you live in Boston or the Boston area and you want to meet us in person, now is your chance. Woo! Because we are both flying all the way across the country for the WED experience out in Boston on March 31st. And since we're going to be there, we thought it would be so fun to go hang out at a bar like we do and meet some of you. And we would love
to. I've never done that before, by the way. I've never hung out at the bar.
Never just in on an afternoon.
No, never.
Just done that. Well, that's what we're going to do, and I'm going to show you the ropes, and I bet you're going to be really good at it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I hope that we can meet some listeners, so please, please let us know if you want to meet us in Boston on March 30th. We're thinking around 1:30 in the afternoon, and we'll give you details if you reach out to us.
March 30th, 2019, in Boston. Email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know if you can make it. Or if you follow us on Instagram, send us a DM at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We want to meet you and see you. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews, and I am here. Just now read something on this blurb that our guest gave us that is making me like...
What?
Now I can't even believe it. Okay.
Wow, that's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. I mean, I read all this stuff. I put all this stuff together. This is okay. Welcome everyone. You're tuning in now to one of our Nashville episodes.
Just tune that little dial.
You tuned in. It was like shh, and then it was us here on your podcast. But we've been in Nashville. We're in Nashville. We've been recording with Nashville Pros. This is one of those interviews. Whenever we decide to put it out
there. We don't know when
you're
going to hear this. So to us, this is relevant. To you, you might be like, okay, you're in Nashville. I didn't know this. What are you talking about?
It's a big deal for us.
It's a really big deal for anyone really who's never been to Nashville. It's fucking awesome.
So we have a guest with us, and we're actually in her home.
Her adorable home with her gorgeous dog.
Here in East Nashville. And I'm going to read the blurb that I was sent that I apparently did not read.
Because she just copy-pasted all the way. It.
Yeah, I just was like, here's what we're going to have to say.
And we're drinking Prosecco, which I didn't realize I liked Prosecco.
Yeah, it's nice.
I've never had it.
As long as you
it.
Get on the dry side. If it's too sweet,
right.
It's like a headache and a...
Well, this is a headache. You know, I'm used to drinking bourbon whiskey.
All right. Well,
which I'm in the
bottle.
Right state for that. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. We are here with Claire White of White Ink Calligraphy. Nashville-based calligrapher, owner of White Ink Calligraphy. We'll include all these links, of course, as always. White Ink Calligraphy initially started as a side hustle, but has since grown to her second full-time job. That's right. She also works full-time as an attorney. Is that bullshit?
What?
That's what
you
I'm saying.
You work
That's
as an attorney?
I just read it.
You
like, have
you use both sides of the brain. Yeah. I
yes,
love
but
it.
Also,
holy
okay,
shit!
First of all, you
now
look
wonder you have to turn down.
Years old.
And that's what
you look so young.
Okay. We're going to hand you the mic. Yes. Claire has been practicing pointed pen calligraphy for about 4 years now. We'll learn the differences. And
different
never
types heard of that. I'm excited.
And she's been working under her brand name for 2 years. So welcome, Claire White. And please tell us your origin story now that we know you're a lawyer.
Great.
How you got here.
Great.
How you got here, how your business got to where it is, and what is happening right now.
Can you look at my contract for me? I bet people say all the time, could you just take a look at my contract and make sure it's good? Can you tell me? Can you? Don't you get people want you to? Okay. Here. You're on.
Hello. Okay. So my origin story.
Yes.
Where would you like me to start?
Yes, like, okay, we're here.
Story.
We saw your workshop.
Yeah.
That's the desk you sit at when you're at, like, doing people's orders.
Okay, so first, I'm 32.
I look 12. In your 20s.
A baby,
yeah. But you are young.
So I was a bride at one point in time. And I took a class and learned calligraphy for my wedding.
Oh.
One class.
And actually, the girl who taught this class, I'm really excited because I have had an amazing year. She's an abstract artist on top of a previous calligrapher. I just commissioned my first piece of art from her for my house, which I'm really, really excited about.
Full circle.
There, yep. It's a sad story.
Because the marriage.
Yeah, the marriage didn't work out. And when I was going through my divorce, 2 years into my marriage, I picked back up calligraphy and
was
found
it,
therapy
like a way to,
in it. Yeah, okay. It was for like, sure.
Like mandala, like it's kind of like that. Well, you
some
know
people
how people like
use coloring
color
books.
For
yes,
meditation.
Yes, yeah. 100% like that.
And but were you writing like, fuck you?
I mean,
get out of this house. Were you like,
it was awful. Like, it was by far the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life.
I get it.
Would never wish it upon anyone.
It's the pile of expectations and then on top of the actual logistics of ending something.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And, you know, you go through like a grieving process with a divorce. And so at that same time, I kind of put myself out there as a calligrapher.
This whole time you're working 9 to 5.
Right. Like I'm an attorney. I'm a child support attorney. I put guys in jail for not paying their child support. And I work for the state.
You're a superhero.
Yeah, like girl power. And then I would come home and my ex-husband and I were cohabitating throughout this 7-8 month divorce. Mm. And not in this house, no. And it was therapeutic. It had that therapeutic value for me. So I started networking within the wedding industry and finding
kind of like dipping your toes in, like.
Yeah, and it was amazing because it was like a new circle of people. And for me, that was what I needed at that time in my life. So I went back. My married name was something different. Obviously, my maiden name is White. And so at that time, my sister, who was kind of like helping me through everything, she's like, you know, we should start up an Instagram for you.
Oh my gosh, you're like something. A phoenix rising out of the...
Like, she's just like, you should really, you know, because you, when you're going through awful things, you kind of disappear off social media.
Yes.
And so I started an Instagram account and started building the brand of White Ink Calligraphy. And White is my maiden name. So that was like... going back to my maiden name and like a very powerful thing for me.
Yeah. Next stage of your life.
Yeah.
Full change.
Yeah.
But you're posting on Instagram.
Regularly.
Pieces of work. Just writing.
Writing. I would write out song lyrics. I would write out, I was doing stuff for friends' weddings or small projects for myself. And then just started hitting up stationers and local wedding planners like, hey, I'm here, and
right.
It just kind of spiraled. It has been a whirlwind.
But you still have your job.
I'm still working, yeah.
Holy
full-time.
Cow.
So.
Okay, so here in your house, like after a full day of work, you might come home and address 100 envelopes from somebody that doesn't even, you might not ever even meet in person at this point.
Right, because so much of my work comes straight from stationers or wedding planners, and
right.
I usually don't even meet the client.
You just get a spreadsheet.
And I sit down, I'm binge-watching Schitt's Creek and and working on envelopes. So, for example, right now through December 15th, I have about 2,000 envelopes to do, which is a heavy season for me with Christmas cards, galas, weddings.
You can kind of... You figured out now how much you can do in a night or in a week.
Yeah.
And does your hand get...
No.
That doesn't happen?
No.
My hands get tired and I'm just texting.
Yeah, no. And I have a proofreader. So I have an assistant that will come over, proofread all my work. So I'm not having to do that myself.
Okay, that helps. But you still have to... You can't totally zone out watching something. Like you still have to look and write.
That's why I can't binge watch Narcos. Because it's subtitles.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah.
A friend of mine is a photographer, and she said she put out this post like, I'm editing for the next 48 hours. Give me all your binge watching stuff so I can watch while I edit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do the photos. But I suggested this show on Netflix that no one's ever heard of called shit, what is it even called? Anyway, it's like Norwegian, it's subtitled. She immediately, it's called Rita, and it's about a teacher. And it's a half, I thought, it's half hour. Nobody else is watching. I love this show so much. It's kind of like Dangerous Minds. Like, she has unique teaching techniques, and like the kids give her trouble, but it's all in Danish, I believe. and my friend was like, no, I can't. I have to be able to have something like in the background that I can just laugh at. Not that I actually have to like really pay attention to or read.
Right.
Because then you would be addressing something as like 21 Smith Lane, but she's going to like write cocaine because you're watching Narcos and you're like, right. Oh, God damn it.
That's amazing.
So Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek's great.
For background watching. Noise.
So is like classic Law & Order SVU.
I love it.
I'm doing Seinfeld right now. I'm going back.
Way back.
From the pilot all the way through.
That's amazing.
While I'm washing dishes, while I'm folding clothes, I can't. This is the one thing I can't do. I can't binge anything while I'm editing the podcast. I have to be listening to the podcast. Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
We're really off topic right now.
It's okay.
Okay, but to the envelopes, is that the bulk of your work?
No.
No.
It's about 50% envelopes, 50% day of calligraphy, which is like your signage, your place cards, your vows, whatever have you for day of. And then mixed in there, throw in a bunch of custom projects on top of that.
So who hires you for like the typical couple that you're working with? It might be through a wedding planner here that knows you and is like, oh, don't worry about finding a calligrapher. I have someone. But you're all over Instagram and Etsy, Pinterest. Yeah. We can find your stuff. So I know that there's people all over the country that would...
Social media is such a powerful tool. They don't even call me. They just email me.
And you say, this is how much it costs.
This is like, I have everything streamlined, forms to send over, photos, pick what you want. Let's do it. Here's how you get on my calendar.
Okay. Tell us about calligraphy as like there's different styles or techniques.
Yeah. So calligraphy is an art.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that. They think that every calligrapher should write the same way, which
they should be able to give you a font and be like, do this one.
Like, you can do a copper plate font that's on my digital invitation, which is not the case.
No. Okay.
Oh, and what was the question?
Well, you have your art, your way of writing it. That's what people hire you for. You're not going to give them options.
And I have several different kinds of styles. So I have a pretty distinctive modern script, modern mixed with block lettering or all modern cursive script. I have my like traditional copper plate. And then what I think,
what's a copper plate?
Your traditional cursive, like a calligraphy cursive.
Okay.
And then my personal style, which most of my clients hire me for, is kind of a mix in between.
Okay, again, mix in between the traditional cursive style and what was the first one?
Modern lettering. Modern lettering. Jumpy or very like sharper angles and not so formatted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because the traditional is way more of those loops and it's almost kind of hard to read for me, right? It's very old. Like, do you know?
Old world.
It's very old world, right?
Yeah.
That's the way people used to write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the post office has a problem with that too.
Right.
Yes, the delivery people.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so something that most people have probably seen is a wood plank
welcome sign.
Welcome sign that has the word welcome, but the E and the W, the beginning and the end, kind of trail off to the end.
Everyone
of the sign.
Has that.
I see that everywhere.
Yeah.
That could be something someone wants you to do. But they would hire you, say, I want a welcome sign. I want a bar menu.
A seating chart.
And
throw in the
numbers.
Matching table numbers.
And you send them back essentially your inventory, like exactly how much each line item costs.
Because all those items I can rent out. So they don't have to buy the wood.
Okay, can we talk about a seating chart?
Because
that's always the thing that stumps everybody is the fucking seating chart.
Really?
Okay? Seating charts are a nightmare for people getting married.
And planners.
And planners.
Yeah.
It's the only reason why we like escort cards more than a chart is because if it's escort cards and a couple people drop out and you add a couple people, it's very easy to do.
Or if you change the table numbers, you know.
Or if an entire family says, I'm not coming anymore, and you're like, now there's no table seven. But if you have this big, beautiful mirror that you paid $500 for Claire White to put her handwriting
on. And that's
on,
why I don't accept my seating chart assignments until the Wednesday before the wedding.
Okay, good. That was exactly what I was going to ask you, because there's always
changes.
Yeah. And if somebody's hiring you from Arkansas or California and you're here in Nashville, you're going to create it. You're going to ship it to them, right? And so when do you have to ship it by? I mean, like, this is like, they can't have any changes on Friday if it's a Saturday wedding.
Right. But the lovely part is that I just do local seating charts.
You won't? Okay. Yeah. This is good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is not a service you can do sourced.
I can for sure, but you would have to be secure on your seating chart. Yeah.
If you had, like, if we were doing a small, intimate wedding.
Yeah.
But then you don't really need a seating chart.
But that is really good advice, that because I've done seating charts or had artists do seating charts in Dallas, and we always use someone local because of for that very reason.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't even know your RSVPs a week out or whatever, two weeks. They drive me crazy. But a good tip for everyone listening is that you can have a great calligraphy artist work on your invitations, do that bar menu that you really wanted, maybe something that has your name on it, and then hire someone else to do the seating chart. That's fine. It's not going to mess up anything.
Or get it digitally printed.
Right.
I was going to say, because then it's like haven't you ever had this happen? A florist. If you have somebody on a budget, or they'll be like, you know what, we're going to do all the centerpieces, but can we hire you just to do the bouquets? Some florists won't do that because they're like, no, because the people are going to see the flowers and your centerpieces, and they're going to think that's my work. And I don't know how the fuck they're going to turn out. So a local calligrapher might be like, well, if you have all your signage and everything, like, that's not my work. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I haven't run into that yet.
Okay.
So
it's not that, you know.
We're not there yet.
You're not in the calligraphy world. And because for me, the untrained eye as a guest, I'd be like, cool, that looks like the
lovely
invitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, price wise, what is your price for addressing in your style?
Mm-hmm.
100 invitations.
So I charge by the envelope.
Okay.
And every calligrapher, it's pretty standard to have a fee for front addressing and then a fee for return addressing.
Because they could just get a sticker or have it printed already, the return.
Right. There's so many options, or even like spot calligraphy, where if you were the client and you wanted my hand lettering on the return address, I could scan it, send it over to your stationer, and they can have that printed. And then I hand letter the front of the envelope.
Wait.
Because the return address is all the same.
The return address is all the same.
Same.
I see. Okay.
So, you know, I charge $250 an envelope for front addressing. And then you have your return addressing fee, if that's included, or inner envelope addressing.
Oh, yeah, there's the inner envelope, Mr. and Mrs.
And then prices. Some calligraphers charge extra if you're using a metallic ink. Because a lot of people don't know this, but it is a pain. You have to, like, stir the ink constantly as you're working.
In just a moment, don't forget this. I'm going to go back to how, is it an actual pen? Is it a whatever
it
is?
So
but finish your thought. $250 for front addressing.
Yep. And then if you have like a super, super thick envelope with a liner, I charge a little extra for
that. Why?
Because it's harder for your hand. You have to press down harder on the paper, so it slows down the work.
So it's not that a calligrapher is charging more because the ink, metallic ink, is more expensive, or those envelopes, they don't care how much the envelopes cost you.
Yeah.
It's the actual work itself. Mm-hmm. It takes longer, or you have to stir
it's
or
the
press
time.
Harder.
Yep.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't either. This is physical labor.
Because black ink and gold ink are generally the same cost.
Right.
It's the labor and the time it takes. So if there's anything slowing down my process, like if you send me an address list that is not, everything's not spelled out correctly, or I'm having to like fix DR to drive, like I'm having to do stuff for you that slows down my.
You want it typed out exactly as they want it written. That's true.
And if they don't send it over that way, there is a fee for that. Mm. So I try to get my brides organized on the front end. I send them a document that's like, here's what I need. This is the format. And this is to prevent mistakes.
Right. Which will cost you money.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So one envelope.
$250
and $5 if they want.
All the front and back and inner. Yeah.
How much then? So that's for envelopes, which you said is about 50% of the work you're doing for weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side with the day of signage, we saw, I think we posted on our Instagram a while ago, the picture you just posted, which is a backdrop.
Oh, the chalkboard.
Right. And that was what they got married in front of.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And then serves as a photo backdrop. I love that because a lot of times they keep it unless you've rented it to them, but they would keep it like in their home if it says something like a quote or a line from a song.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like 8 feet tall. I mean, how much does something like that?
I was like on a ladder. For that? Yeah. It depends. If I have to go on site on my Saturday in like a busy wedding season.
And install.
Yeah. And I mean, being up and down on a ladder, you know, everything is... based upon my time.
Yeah.
So to go on site, I usually charge about $150 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quote based upon how many words or the size and how long I expect it to take me.
So what was that? Do you remember?
Well, that project that you saw was for a styled shoot.
Okay.
Oh, so
yeah. What would it have been?
So, and I was actually in that venue.
Was it actual chalk?
Yeah, that was real chalk. Because a lot of places don't want you using chalk marker because it will leave grease stains and so forth. But I was in that venue about a month or two before, and it was an out-of-town couple because, you know, this is a destination wedding place for a lot of people.
Yes, really.
And it was an out-of-town couple. They were getting married at they were having their reception at this venue that was super simple, white, clean lines. And it just has this massive chalkboard wall that's like 20 feet long.
Oh, it's in the venue.
It's in the venue.
Got it.
And they contacted, I think they were from like Michigan or something. And they contacted me the week of. They're like, can you come in and just do something for us?
For a shoot, not for a wedding.
No, this was for a wedding.
Okay.
This second part was for a wedding.
Got it.
The out of town couple coming in town. And so I charged them by the hour and I took in an assistant and I was able to knock out about 3/4 of that entire wall in, I want to say, 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. So larger scale stuff, it just, because they just wanted their names, the date and the city, and then like floral decor, like drawings.
Okay. If I were to, so no. I want something like dramatic with my favorite line from a John Lennon song on wood planks because I'm going to keep it in my house afterwards. So you're going to do it with permanent
acrylic paint.
And you can have it at your house ahead of time because I'll come and get it from you.
Yeah.
$500? Like, what is it? I'm throwing
like,
out there.
I need you as a client.
I wouldn't even know where to start with, like, because it's a piece of art that they get to keep afterwards.
Right. So you'll find that a lot of calligraphers price based upon whether or not the item's disposable. So like an envelope's disposable, a menu's is disposable, or a place card. But if you're getting into an item that you know as the calligrapher that the client's going to keep and cherish and frame or put up, you know, people charge accordingly. So I outsource my wood working. I was in my backyard like all summer staining and sanding wood. And I'm like, this is not
this
my life.
This is not actually
this is not what I want to do. Right. And so,
you get the
I have a guy who like does it for me, puts it together, stains it, and
gets it totally ready for
lettering
paint on it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And then,
so that's a cost.
That's the cost, the expense, and then my time.
Your time.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get something like that for under $500 potentially from a...
Yeah.
Click? Okay.
Yeah.
That's in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And then with something that big, because I know you don't when you're doing envelopes, but with something that big, do you use a projector to project onto it? And then
we have all these tricks.
Because
so,
I figured people do that with mirrors. I did an escort chart, seating chart. It was 200 names that she did on a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, there's no way that she's so perfect at getting these line by line. Eventually, it would like slide to the right or something.
Yeah, no, there's...
It's not humanly possible, right?
So there's tricks to the trade.
Graphing or projecting something with a line.
I've never projected. I've used a laser level, which will shoot a straight line across. Craft tape or like washi tape to do your straight lines. And then there's pencils that rub off of wood or mirror.
Right.
These are the tricks of the trade.
Yeah. And so those are all things that, you know, once you learn how to use them and you get used to it, I can knock out a 300-person seating chart in an hour.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. But I do multiple.
Do anything in an hour.
So, but I mean, like,
you can watch Netflix.
Shit's Creek.
Shit's Creek.
Or I would be distracted and.
Yeah, so I've figured out how long it takes me to do certain things, but that was through a lot of trial and error to get there.
Yeah, and then having to kind of trial and error your price structure, because you said you charge based on time.
And it's so interesting because in the Nashville market, I've had a lot of vendors tell me this recently, that my clientele, the brides that I work with, are everything from your DIY budget bride to the Angela Prophets and the like high end weddings and the like six figure weddings.
Yeah.
And it really is. And my prices are the same for both.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I work
with. As they should be.
As they are. Yeah. And so I work with a multitude of planners on every level.
All scales.
And I think I'm one of the few vendors that
can do that.
Yeah.
Well, you won't turn down a job because it's too potentially too small.
If you're willing to like pick up off my porch on a busy wedding season weekend, your seating chart, like have at it. Like it's yours.
And we were talking about earlier off mic how there's like calligraphers in New York that charge way more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based on where you are, the professional, right?
Right.
So just as weddings cost different things in different cities. Yeah. So that's really good to know, those listening out there, because
contact a Tennessee calligrapher.
Okay. Well, you specifically.
Yeah. No, there's actually, all my, we call them calligrapher friends. My calligrapher friends.
I like that.
There in 2016, there was a survey done amongst calligraphers, several calligraphers throughout the country, and pricing and how much they were charging per envelope and how much they were charging per seating chart. And Tennessee ranked pretty low.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know San Francisco, it's pricey.
Yeah. But the cost of living there is so much,
yeah,
too.
But let's just break this down, because even your price on $250 an envelope,
mm-hmm,
it seems like, oh, $2.50, like that's not... That's fine. That's not a lot.
Well, it's
but if you're someone on a budget, which a lot of our listeners are, you're already trying to save money on your invitation. So, you know, if you think that's adding $250 onto each invitation.
Yeah, because if you got your invitation from minted.com,
you're
it's
not
probably $2.
Yeah,
for the invitation and the envelope
and the postage,
and that's it.
Yeah,
but then you can have Claire do the outer envelope, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're getting a custom invitation, you know, like or you're getting it printed, you know, professionally somewhere, like, well, I guess it just depends. Everybody has different budgets.
And I always like to remind people that this is generally the only time in your life you will hire a click, like,
yeah,
that you will have the. It's not an expectation, but the allowance to do this, you know, to wear the white dress, to
There's
have
no
the
other time.
Gorgeous florals.
Right.
And it's...
And that goes back to the art and history of this.
Right. And I just, I have so many clients tell me after the fact that they did it because their mom wanted them to, or they did calligraphy because it's the norm, but they would have clients, or not clients, they would have guests tell them, like, as soon as they get the invitation, I'm so excited for your wedding, because it sets that expectation of what your day is going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's that. We always say that when the invitation arrives,
mm-hmm,
that is the first
glimpse
of what this wedding is going to, you know, you look at the invitation, you're like, oh, I've got to dress up for this wedding
because it's going to be the runway.
What? It's at the plaza, you know, whatever. Like, yeah.
And people don't just look at the info, like the date and time and location. Mm-hmm. Location says a lot about the formality of a wedding, but also how much time and thought was spent on the design of the invitation. And if they have like clearly some custom personal elements, and calligraphy is one of those.
Yeah.
And I just consulted with a bride who found us because of the podcast. You know who you are if you're listening, because she also hired you to do calligraphy. And she sent me pictures of her save the date, just to save the date. Like, so much thought had been put into it. Mm-hmm. The colors, it had an envelope liner. It was letterpress. It was on thick cardstock. It looked like you'd probably just want to like touch the paper. Yeah, it was like matte. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If I got that save the date, I'd be like,
I'm upgrading your gift. We're going
save the date.
You're putting that on the fridge for the whole year out. You won't want to throw that away.
And I would be the kind of guest that would text you and be like, just got your save the date.
So excited.
Your envelope liner is everything. Right? And she said this bride was very honest with me. She's like, the paper and how much I spent on invitations and all the paper suite was very important to me. She's like, I don't really care what my cake looks like. I don't really even care about that all the centerpieces are this or that, but I really cared about, and she's like, it kind of surprised me. I really cared about the paper. And she said it like made her day when guests, like friends of hers that got the card, would text and be like, girl,
right,
where did you get that envelope liner? Because they hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
And then she was like, and those people shot up to be my new best. They were like at the top of my best friends list because they had noticed what I had put so much of myself into. Still, some guests aren't going to care. And they're going to put it in their phone and then throw it away. That is what, you know, it's.
And for those brides that know that guests won't care, then don't expend the cost of calligraphy if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, if I've had brides that are like, I am on a budget, half my guest list is going to get calligraphy.
Interesting. So, like, grandma, some of my relatives who are expecting it, or the traditional, or my cousin who did calligraphy, she's definitely getting one with calligraphy. But my work friends,
they don't need
don't
it.
Don't care. Yeah. They just want to put the date into their phone. That's really interesting. So some of it is where some of this transaction with hiring someone like you to work on it is, where are you going to get the most bang for your buck?
Yes. Yes.
I tell my clients, where are the photos going to be taken? The head table and the cake table. So if you're going to do a big elaborate backdrop, put it in one of those places so that your photo album years later, you continue to see that thing that you spent a lot of money on.
Yeah.
So your pieces can have that kind of impact. And that's what you meant when you said, I think, but that's what you meant when you said, if it's going to be an heirloom, if they're going to keep it, I price accordingly.
Right. So my big thing is, like, a year after the wedding, I reach back out to my clients. Hey, we're coming up to the 1 year anniversary. Traditional gift is paper. Do you need any services of writing out your vows or your first song or anything that you can cherish and
Christy's
mount and frame and have it in your house? And you'll see, I have something up there.
I'll email you when I get home with my vows.
Yeah, we'll do it. So,
what's your favorite thing to do? Like, what? I mean, like, you're obviously doing
a lot
envelopes all the time, but like, what are some things that people have had you do that you're like, oh God, I wish more people did this? Like,
what floats your boat?
The Pinterest projects that I've never done. Like, for New Year's Eve, I have a wedding coming up. Actually with Modern Vintage Events. They're gonna be at
Modern Love. Yeah.
We are doing an 80-inch acrylic piece. I'm renting a truck to transport this thing. It's like a big deal. And when I say renting a truck, I'm like borrowing my dad's truck.
My dad's lending me his truck.
Right.
It's a stick shift.
It's happening. And we are sticking like envelope pockets that are going to be escort cards almost, with the names written on it. And then the gift that the... the wedding gift will be sticking out of the pocket.
The favor?
The favor, yes. So you're a planner.
So on the acrylic?
On the acrylic, and then the color of the pockets will all be different shades.
They're
on the
actual envelopes?
Mm-hmm.
So what is
the ombre effect with the color?
Yes. Oh. And then I'm writing at the top, and then it's like, The big presentation, like the big pieces.
Okay, but what are you going to do with this acrylic after? Is the couple going to keep
it? That's a good question. I don't know.
Are they going to want to keep it?
So I literally supply this from a local plastic company that like makes diapers.
Oh. And anything cool except the random stuff.
Right.
They get to
and
you.
I like, call it and I'm like,
four
hey.
By five sheet. And they're like, I don't, you can look through our trash, I guess.
Right. And so I'm like, I need an 80 inch by 4 foot, you know, like big old piece. And they're like, Claire, like,
don't worry. I'm renting a truck
that will not fit in my Mini Cooper. And so I'm really excited about it, but it's projects like that where, the planners give me the freedom because they trust my judgment. Yeah. They trust that it's going to look good. They know my style.
Your last statement, you figure out what it is.
Yeah.
So that piece then will be presumably at cocktail reception for guests. And it will be part of the decor. It's a statement piece.
Yeah.
And then once those escort cards are pulled out of the envelopes and their favors... It will. What are their favors?
Cash? Is it just a $20?
Okay, I don't want to like misspeak or anything, but I think it's some kind of donation that was made in the guest name. But it's a bookmark for some kind of reading program.
Okay,
cool. So
I love it.
I'm into that.
Yeah. And then so then afterward, do you know what they're gonna do with it? Like, will she move it to another area? Will it look okay after
to like reuse? That's a good question.
Interesting.
Well, I'll send you photos.
Is this going to be an expensive project?
So no, the acrylic piece was quoted at, like the plastic itself. Mm-hmm. We say acrylic, like that's plastic.
Yeah.
$150 for that size.
Wow, that's nothing.
And then right, my dad's truck.
Dad, I'll give you $20.
Right, and then the cost of me to come on site to do the lettering at the top, like a title.
So you're going
to
do it on site that day?
Because I really don't want to bring it in my house and load it back up. So yeah. I'm like, I think it's best to do it on site.
And you're going to do it, what kind of ink is it going to be?
White acrylic ink, I imagine. We haven't gone that far, but that's what I imagine.
Yeah.
And then ahead of time, I'll have all the escort cards already hand lettered. That's with pointed pen.
Oh, you're doing every escort card too? Okay. The Wednesday before, presumably.
Yeah, maybe the night before. And then I'm either myself or the planner's assistant might be attaching the cards with like little sticky things that you get at Michael's. So it's very DIY, but like...
Wait, attaching the cards or attaching the envelopes?
So when I say like envelopes, they're like pockets almost.
They're pockets.
Like think but of like an envelope. Well...
Without a flap.
Yeah.
But you're putting those on?
Okay. That's what we've talked about.
That's your labor. Yeah.
So,
So you're doing that all on the day of.
Yeah. Okay. But that won't be hard. I've done stuff like that before. So it's just measuring and it's a lot of math. So
how long do you think you'll be there that day?
Maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. So you were talking, the acrylic's about $150. You're going to go there that day. You're going to do the escort cards the night before.
Yeah. So before. Say $150 for the acrylic, $300 for being on site day of, and for 200 escort cards, you're looking at $1.50 a piece.
So $4.50.
So this massive installation will be less than $700.
That's fantastic.
That does go to show like how a client, a person getting married, might see something on Pinterest and be like, I love that. Oh, but I could never afford something like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I saw that, I'd be like, that's so expensive. That's custom work. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're in New York, it would be fucking crazy expensive.
But most weddings aren't
in New York. If florist
did
it who only charges, you know, only does certain budget weddings, you know what I mean? They would charge a shitload of money to do that.
Yeah. It just goes to show what impact can have, like for less than $800
would be more
easily
than that.
Yeah,
like pipe and drape would probably be that same price, but this is so unique and different,
and this will have a ton of photos taken and probably circulate back through Pinterest and Instagram.
I hope,
you know?
Oh yeah.
My god, it's gonna look amazing.
And you know, clients don't know what you can do until you do it, so that's my big thing. I've learned that, like, whenever, you know, the trend with painting on the back of acrylic pieces, I'm sure y'all've seen that, like,
yeah,
people didn't know I could do that. And I'm like, yes, of course.
Do you have to write backwards? Do you have to write backwards?
No. So an acrylic sheet is a like 1/4 inch thick. You paint on the back.
Yeah.
You write on the front. That's an illusion.
I have a question. When you're doing escort cards or envelopes, it's a special kind of pen you're using.
Yes, that was the pointed pen that we were that I referred to in my little blurb.
But if you're going to do something
that's a paint pen, and you're doing almost like faux calligraphy,
like you're drawing the letter and then kind of coloring
in the darknesses. Yeah.
Whereas calligraphy has more to do with the angle that you're
pressure.
Okay.
Y'all should come in town and take one of my classes.
I would love that.
Yeah.
You can have any this weekend?
No.
Tomorrow at exactly 4 o'clock.
Wait a minute. Can we do this over hot chicken?
Right? Nashville hot chicken.
We're going to try that. It's crazy that we just picked, there's these subjects and you can go deep into this shit. And who would have known? Nobody knows about this till they're getting married or they listen to the podcast.
I have a podcasty question. It's like an official question. What do you, Katie Couric, like what do you wish people knew about calligraphy?
It's too much.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there because really quick, calligraphy became very mainstream.
Right. It's Pinterest and people saw.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's not done by hand. They think it's a font.
Yeah, and I so can see that because it looks so
precise. And
that every single envelope, it's like, how can somebody do that with their own hand? It's because they're using a laser.
Yes, a laser. I have it's a slider writer, and I'll show it to you guys before we leave. You can get a video of it. The time it takes, a lot of people don't realize that, and they don't understand that that's where the cost comes from.
It's not just nice handwriting.
No.
There's a technique with that.
And tools and certain inks and knowing how to like dilute your ink and thicken your ink depending on what kind of paper you're working with. I mean that there's so much more to it that it is in fact an art. I've had clients in the past and this was hard for me to wrap my head around, but they would send me images of other calligraphers' work and be like, I want you do to look like that. And then I have to educate them and be like, okay, so I am not that person. If you want that, you need to contact that calligrapher.
Does every calligrapher have their own look? Can you
Can
you see it?
Because I can.
You can.
You know nothing. So if I have a couple friends throughout the states that like if you just handed me a piece of work, I would know it was theirs. Yeah.
So why does somebody do calligraphy then, Claire, in your opinion? Why at your wedding? What
why do people hire?
Why calligraphy? I mean, like, do you know
the history? Why pick out like a certain
font
type of photographer that provides certain scenic images or gives you that warm feeling versus the cool feeling? Like, why go with the florist who's more traditional versus the florist who's like the like bohemian?
Mm-hmm. So the idea that it elevates, like you said earlier, when else are you going to get calligraphy?
It's a luxury service.
Right.
And
it's a luxury service that's surprisingly
affordable,
accessible, though.
Right.
Very old school, like very traditional.
Yeah.
But that being said, those who aren't really into tradition, it looks really fucking cool and relevant now. It's timeless.
Yeah, it is timeless.
Especially when you mix those two, like you were saying before. Mm-hmm.
The modern script with the traditional
and
script.
And the traditional together. Boom. All of a sudden, it's like, it's cool, it's hip, it's now. I want it.
Yeah. And and that's what, after a wedding, my brides come back to me for Christmas cards.
Oh, yeah.
And
the name of their daughter for above the crib.
Yes,
right?
They
it's a
want
pretty, like
all
decor
the
elements,
and and it's something too that like I've learned with my social media following that to make yourself put yourself out there and make yourself personable behind the brand. Clients want to maintain that; they want to stay in your life. They want to continue to buy from you and get services from you. So when
it becomes a thing, like your own thing in your family.
It's like that is my tradition. Calligrapher.
Yes, yeah. That's my calligrapher. I'll have my calligrapher do it.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me talk to my calligrapher.
Let's see if Claire can do it. Yeah.
Let me call Claire. Her name is Claire. She's fantastic. She's been doing all my calligraphy.
And what's amazing is that it's usually the mothers of the brides.
Oh, yeah.
That are like, we now have a calligrapher.
We have a calligrapher. Yeah. So. Oh, hold on. I'll call my calligrapher.
Which is the way that some people have with lawyers in their family, right? Yeah. Like and my husband's cousin, if anything happens, like that we need any legal advice, I'm like, well, we're just gonna have to call Randy because he's our lawyer. And Randy will be like, you know, I'm like a corporate asbestos lawyer.
Right.
I can't actually help you with that. And I'll be like, don't worry about it. I just like to threaten people with this, like, well, I'm calling my lawyer.
I have a lawyer in
but
the
you're
family.
Both.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call my lawyer because you just rear-ended me. And after that, she's gonna do 17 envelopes for the next dinner party I'm having.
She will write that contract in calligraphy.
Oh, and yeah.
They used to be written in calligraphy, probably.
Right. Full circle.
Full circle. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, tell us about the pet project here, because we're going to be holding up our sign that you're going to make us. But all your social media and then this white ink travels.
White ink travels. So
we think that's
going
cool.
back to my like origin story, after I went through my divorce, my sister and I backpacked through Spain and Italy for 3 weeks. And I say backpacking lightly. Like I had a backpack, but like we stayed in nice places. And
sure.
Yeah.
But it was still like a...
It was like, I'm doing my thing. Yeah.
Eat, pray, love.
Right. Totally.
Drink all
a lot of wine. Yeah. Oh, we went to a cava vineyard. Mm. Yes. And it's like my dream to go back and stay there. I'll have to give you the information.
Do it.
But.
Dream it. Do it.
So while we were traveling, I had made these cards before we left. And then I did the whole like holding them up. And then I started having Instagram followers reach out to me. They're like, I want those cards.
The card had the location.
Yes. Okay. And you would like hold it. I would hold it up in front of like an iconic, like in front of the Colosseum in Rome.
It would say Rome.
Yeah.
In your
lettering and like whatever color ink script. I wanted. Yeah. And oh, my dog is 9. Oh, he just slowly got up.
So
but
cute.
So then I started having Instagram followers reach out and they're like, I want to do that. And I was kind of doing, I was doing it for free. I still do. Like if you want a card, I'll just mail it to you because I'm getting the cross promotion.
Yes.
And it's furthering the awareness of calligraphy, I guess. So I find it super fun.
The awareness of calligraphy.
Yeah.
People
it's a
hold
thing.
It up, take a selfie or whatever in front of the Eiffel Tower and then hashtag.
Tag me.
And tag you.
Uh-huh.
But the hashtag is white ink travels.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're doing it.
Super cute. And then you should probably have like your thumb or nail done.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I love that.
The one nail.
A nice Jay Leno profile. Like Lady Gaga from the movie.
Sorry, I was taking pictures of Christy.
Good one. That's what I look like when I give a blowjob. It's like, I don't really care. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Amazing.
Dummy.
It's amazing.
Okay.
So it's safe to say calligraphy saved your life.
I don't know about
that. So it's safe to say through the divorce.
I mean, like, I had a therapist as well. She
we
was
love
amazing.
Therapy. We talk about therapists all the time.
Yeah,
we have
no,
had one
therapist.
3 times on the show.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? My sister that traveled with me, she is a therapist as well. And so that was super helpful.
That's lawyer, calligrapher, and therapist in the family.
Yeah.
That's just fucking amazing.
I know. So going forward, though, I'm kind of at this point where I am trying to figure out the path of what I'm going to do. Because I, you know, working for the state, I actually do better with calligraphy.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though your work has a big impact. It's
so rewarding.
Whoa.
But it does
that's a lot.
Pay a lot. You know, but it's so rewarding.
I was going to ask you if there's going to be a crossroads where it's like, can I do this full time?
Yeah.
Is that living the dream?
I kind of hit that today, to be
today,
honest.
Today specifically?
I mean,
because we're in town.
Yeah, no, I mean, so I was telling you guys that last night I was doing like wine while you work. I had a girlfriend over, we're drinking wine, I'm working, pulling a late night, working on envelopes. And she's like, Claire, this is not sustainable. And it's like, I know. We have to figure out. That's hard. That's so hard. And turning
There's
down work,
hours
I've
in a day
never.
You're also a full time lawyer.
Down. Yeah. And so turning down work hurts my heart. And
does doing calligraphy feed your soul? And like it is, it's art and it's with your hands. And I would think it'd be really fulfilling to like say, I'm going to do something for the next couple hours. And then at the end of that time, you have an actual product to show for
yeah.
it. Like, oh, this is what I did. That stack is what I did.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Well, it's the client's reaction that is makes it enough.
But you don't always get to see their reaction, do you?
No, not always, but I definitely get some of the sweetest messages. Or like
That's the power
I just had
of
a
thank
flower.
You notes,
I just had a bride deliver like 50 white roses to my house. Who does that? She was so sweet. She knew that I was like super busy and I had another bride who in November, I had like 7 weddings one weekend, 6 weddings another weekend.
Wow.
So back to back. And this one bride, she brought over toys and treats for my dog.
Aww.
Because she knew I'd be too busy to play with him.
Aww.
And I'm like, that makes
That's
my
so
heart
thoughtful.
Smile. So
that's one thing we've noticed here in Nashville. People are very kind.
Oh my
people
gosh.
People are very
it's
hospitable and kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Until we say like, bless your heart.
Which really means go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
It was actually really nice when people were telling her that.
I was like, yeah. Thank you.
Like, bless your heart, Michelle.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a thing. It's our Southern, like, passive aggressiveness that, like, you know, you don't say, like, F you to someone's face. It's more polite to say, like, bless your heart, sweetie.
Oh, bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
See how it can have that undertone?
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart.
I'm going to start saying that.
I'm going to start saying it. You say it, and then you walk away.
So you leave every place you visit with something, and that's what I'm going to leave with. Bless your heart.
And something from Claire. She's going to give us something.
Yay, something. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I think, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you feel like people need to know?
I think, no.
Can
you can find me.
Listeners in Australia hire you.
Yes, okay. I ship internationally.
Yes. And guys, call her. No, people don't call
Email.
You.
Yeah.
Email her.
You can call
Sorry.
Me if you want.
Call her. She'll talk to you.
Send a pigeon. Yeah. No,
Send a raven.
Yes. Game of Thrones. But no, I, you know, just a reminder that all, and this is with any calligrapher, like we just have one hand. And if it's a busy wedding season for wherever you're living, it is likely that that calligrapher is busy. And to reach out to them more than
I was going
to
say, well,
a couple
in advance,
weeks out.
Right?
Yeah.
You're being so sweet, but that's great advice. Like she's like, maybe call them. A couple months.
Did you say a couple weeks?
I mean,
I try.
Okay, so if you think about it, if you are sending out your invitation 6 to 8 weeks in advance and your calligrapher, say you're getting married in a peak season.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And your calligrapher is already working on weddings that are around the same time of yours and it takes your calligrapher, you know, you can only do so many envelopes in a day. I mean, for example, I started booking my Christmas envelopes in August.
Okay. So if I have a June wedding and I'm going to send my invitations out 8 weeks before, that's in
April.
So then I should have
you should
doing
like
them in like
early March.
March.
But you should
like
reach out now.
Yeah.
Like
no.
January.
Yes, reach out to you in January, book you, give you your deposit or whatever it is you require, and then you send over all the addresses when you have them so that you have plenty of time, and then you give them a delivery date. Like, you're like, I'll have them to you by this date.
Yeah. Because I'm working on...
In advance, they can give you the info, the better, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Very good to know.
Yeah.
Because that's another... People have problems with timing issues. Like, when do I need to do this by? When do I need to do this
by?
It's, there's so many... You know, that's why we have those planning timelines, those to-do lists.
But when it comes to day of signage or day of calligraphy...
Ooh.
I mean, I know that that is, for a planner even, like a... It's an afterthought. It's
That's way later.
Way later. It's usually 2 weeks to a month before.
Yeah.
And... I mean, all that is taken into consideration with my pricing.
How much is like a, what's a common sign that you do for the wedding? Like a menu? Or like a bar?
Or like a welcome sign. Welcome just a sign. Welcome sign.
So how much is like a welcome sign? Like if you're doing it, what's the most common
welcome
media? Like, or is it on wood? Is it on paper? Is it on
mirrors? Or my mirrors? Big thing. So I have my own rentals. I have my own rental collection.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So my local brides can snatch up a rental. I reserve them out in advance.
Yeah.
And so I have a rental fee plus a calligraphy fee plus a delivery fee if you're not going to pick up off my porch.
Yeah.
So, you know, the calligraphy itself for a welcome sign is $75.
Okay.
And then the rental is $25.
Okay. So you're $100.
But if you break it, you buy it. You know?
Yes. So, yes.
I had my first wedding that broke one of my mirrors.
Well, it's a mirror.
I was really sad. Yeah. Grandma bumped into it.
Oh, Grandma.
And it was like reserved for future dates and
shit.
It was vintage.
So you couldn't get another one.
No. So, but that's the name of the game. That's part of having rentals and that's why there's a rental fee.
Right.
So.
Okay. Good to know.
But yeah.
Good to know. Claire. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
So on Instagram at White Ink Calligraphy, mm-hmm. whiteinkcalligraphy.com, White Ink Calligraphy on Facebook, and my email is claire@whiteinkcalligraphy.com.
C-L-A-I-R-E.
The only way to spell it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now even if you get married again, you'll have to keep.
No, I'm never changing my name
keep
again.
Keep it forever.
It's like, yeah. My, yeah.
Thank you so much, you delight.
Oh, I love this. I love this.
We're
so
gonna hang out and record some stuff. Have Claire right in front of us, like right in front of us, so we can see it and be in awe.
Yeah.
And also, so we'll know if we see anybody else doing it in like a janky, not real way.
Yeah, you're like that's not
that's
good.
Not the fancy pen Claire was using. And yeah, so we'll post all that stuff and all the links will be in our show notes. As always, you can reach us, you can email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. If you love that we're helping you plan your wedding, then maybe you want to give us $5 or $10 a month, and you can do that on patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Reach out all the ways.
Don't forget we do hourly consulting too, you guys. It's a lot of people have been contacting us. We're doing these 2-hour sessions from anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. So,
and between the two of us, we're flexible on timing and we can make it work.
Yeah.
So don't be shy. We love doing that.
We have a phone number. It's 415-723-1625. Call us and leave us a message. And if it cuts you off, call back and finish it. That's fine. I'll edit it.
Fine.
It's not a big deal. It's really okay. It's okay. And what?
Love you. Love your show.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Happy planning, everybody. Bye.